anything in this budget request surprise you today?
No, I don't think there are many surprises in the request. The Secretary of Defense has already been out twice within the last month to preview the strategic guidance that the Pentagon undertook, as well as the major decisions in the budget. So what we're seeing today is just all of the details supporting decisions that have already been announced.
All right. You released a publication last week called Down Payment, and we have that linked up now at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And you argue in that publication that this new strategy and this new budget that we're learning about today may have actually made sequestration more likely than less likely. Why do you say that?
Well, the budget request released today doesn't make any high-profile cancellations to weapons programs. There's a few tweaks here and there, but for the most part, the budget avoids the type of cancellations that can really make members of Congress upset, because those programs are a sign of geopolitical strength, and they also, of course, create jobs here in the domestic economy. So I think in a perverse twist, because the Pentagon did such a good job minimizing the disruptions to the defense budget, it may actually make Congress think that these cuts are relatively painless, and that more painless cuts might be doable in the future in the form of the sequestration process.
Now, last hour we listened to Jeffrey Zients and Gene Sperling both say, sequestration is terrible policy, it's a terrible way to manage the budget at the Pentagon, and yet the president has said he's not in favor of changing that. So I'm a little unclear about where sequestration exactly stands today.
Right. I think most people across the political spectrum think that sequestration is bad policy. The reason that sequestration remains in place has to do with politics. The Democrats and the Republicans find themselves in what I call mutually assured political destruction. Neither side wants to give up the sequestration process because they see it as a way of getting the other side to bargain. So unfortunately, the sequestration mechanism remains in place because it is a political thing, not because it has anything to do with good policy.
All right. You wrote in the Down Payment publication that I referred to that sequestration is an irresponsible way to reduce defense spending for three reasons. Share those with me, please.
Sure. The first reason is that under sequestration, the amount of defense cuts that would have to be absorbed by the Department of Defense would increase from about $487 billion in the budget request today to something like $950 billion over the next 10 years. According to analysis that I've done over the last 6 months, I think it's going to be difficult for the U.S. military to continue to engage globally with that amount of cuts. The second reason is the process. Sequestration would impose a drastic cut on the Defense Department in 2013 by pushing the budget off a cliff and reducing it down to about $470 billion. Moreover, those would be across-the-board cuts, so they would be applied in equal percentages to every program in DoD's budget. To put that into perspective, the budget for training special operations forces, like those that killed Osama bin Laden, would be cut by the same amount as the training budget for our military bands. I think that there's something conceptually flawed with that process.
Now, you said that it might have been bad, or you said that the DOD might have set itself up for sequestration, made it more likely by the fact that they didn't eliminate one or another high-level, high-profile weapon system. Should they have maybe taken one and made it the poster child for where sequestration could potentially take them? Might that have taken them out of that danger zone that you're talking about?
Well, they could have done that. As a general rule, I think it's always better to put forward the best policies and then let the politics come after. But I would actually argue that DOD did propose something that is likely to get members of Congress upset. In fact, it has gotten them very upset, and that's BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. The response from Congress to the DOD proposal to initiate another round of BRAC has basically been, this proposal is dead on arrival. It has absolutely no chance. So I think that there's a pretty good likelihood that the Pentagon proposed BRAC with the understanding that it was going to be opposed by members of Congress, and with the hope that that opposition would then harden into a general agreement that they can't allow any further defense cuts to occur. Because if they do, BRAC will be all but inevitable.
All right. Speaking of dead on arrival, anything else that you see in the proposal today as you look through it the first couple of times that you think is DOA?
I think that there's going to be some serious questions about the cuts made to the size of the Army and the Marine Corps. The budget put out today plans to release the Army by 72,000 soldiers and the Marines by 20,000 by the 2017 time frame. That's actually quite a big reduction to be making in just 5 years. And it seems clear to me that while most of those reductions will be made through offering separation bonuses and reducing the number of recruits, there is probably going to have to be some use of involuntary separations where members of the military are forced out of the service even though they would like to remain in. So I think Congress is going to have some serious questions about releasing service members into a very troubled domestic economy while we're still undertaking pretty intense military operations in Afghanistan. That seems to me like the equation that's going to raise serious concern in Congress.